This is Live and Local. It's your local performance connection. And on today's program, we'll be hearing from the Hawaiian ukulele player, Jake Shimabukuro. He's going to be playing twice in our area in the next 2 days, tonight at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield, and then tomorrow at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. And he'll be playing solo on both occasions, and we'll be hearing him later on the program. Coming up first, it's jazz violinist Sarah Caswell. She's going to be playing at the Tarbell Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tonight at 7:30, along with EIU faculty jazz pianist Paul Johnston and some of his students in the jazz program there as well. It's Live and Local. Stay tuned. That was violinist Sarah Caswell, along with pianist Lynn Ariel and drummer Steve Davis. And one of the bass players here, Larry Kohut or Jeremy Allen. Sarah can answer the question, which one of those was that on that tune, The Way You Look Tonight, you know?
The bassist on that particular track was Larry Kohut.
And Sarah is with me here on Live and Local because she's going to be performing tonight at the Tarbell Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston with a show that starts at 7:30 along with EIU jazz studies professor and pianist Paul Johnston and some of his students as well. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And, you know, I really enjoyed listening to both of these CDs and also reading that you're one of the, well, I was going to say relatively few jazz pianists who also has a strong classical background, but, you know, now that I think about it, that may not exactly be true. How unusual do you think that is in your realm?
Well, it's still fairly unusual that that violinists would have maybe as much, as extensive a background in classical performance as I've had, although that's certainly changing with the younger generations, the generation that's coming up through the ranks at this point. But yeah, when I was in middle school, high school, and in college, certainly, there were a lot of improvising violinists around, and of course jazz violinists who were doing their thing. But yeah, they maybe just didn't have quite as much of that classical training that I'd had. You know, I was doing the two pretty equally up until I finished my college degree, and then at that point, I guess I was around, maybe about 20, 22 or so, I was starting to feel a little more myself when I was having more creative input as far as what I wanted to say through the music. And while I certainly felt that there were those creative opportunities within the classical repertoire, it wasn't the same as what I was experiencing with the jazz repertoire. So, I still did competitions and was still, of course, learning more and more solo repertoire in the classical realm. But definitely in the fall of 2004, which is when I moved to New York, that was my time, and I decided, I'm going to really focus my attention full time on really developing my voice in the jazz realm.
Although you also sort of straddle those two worlds by playing in the New York Pops Orchestra. Are you still in that group?
Oh, yes. I've been part of that orchestra right as soon as I moved to New York. So it was the day after I moved there, Skitch Henderson, who was then the director of the orchestra, he'd been a longtime friend of mine, and he knew exactly the date that I was going to be moving in town, so he had a gig for me, waiting for me when I moved. But the great thing about the Pops is that certainly you have to have really great classical chops. love to be part of that that orchestra, and I feel honored to be, you know, to be among that the musicians who are there. But it's not a requirement, but it certainly helps to have a really a deep understanding of different sorts of music, specifically American music, with, you know, the Great American Songbook and Broadway and jazz and just so much of the music that has come up in the Americas. So it's a wonderful orchestra to be a part of, and it's been a blast in that the directors have featured me on various pieces, knowing that I have, you know, jazz background and I'm comfortable with the improvisation element of it. So it's been a lot of fun being part of that group.
And I imagine they've taken advantage of that knowledge in their arrangements.
Yeah, I mean, what's great is that they certainly, well, they have a lot of talented improvisers in that group. So they definitely try to highlight and feature those musicians whenever possible, and I feel really lucky to be one of those musicians they like to feature.
So you said you got to New York in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
4 years before that, I think it was, you released your first of the two CDs so far called First Song.
Yeah.
I thought we'd hear something off of there, and this is one of your own compositions called Anna's Song. Should we know who Anna is?
You'll laugh. Yes, Anna was a cat.
A cat?
That our family adopted. She was a beautiful black cat, very shy, and we have a suspicion that she may have been abused. When she wandered onto our property, she was very scared of men and was also very scared of boots. So put those things together, and that's how we came up to that assessment. But she was a beautiful little girl, and she warmed up to us definitely, and just had a beautiful spirit about her. And so I tried to capture a little bit of that personality in this particular song.
That's actually a nice little story. It's called Anna's Song by Sarah Caswell, and joined here by, again, with pianist Lynn Ariel. Am I saying her name right?
Yes, Lynn Ariel.
And bassist Jack Helsley this time, and again drummer Steve Davis, from the CD called First Song. Sarah Caswell will be at the Tarbell Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. You're listening to Live and Local. It's Sarah Caswell's song called Anna's Song, and also her performance. She's the violinist in this first of her CD called First Song. We're making lots of use of that word, along with bassist Jack Helsley, drummer Steve Davis, and pianist Lynn Ariel. Sarah's going to be at the Tarbell Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston tonight at 7:30, playing with jazz pianist Paul Johnston of the faculty there, and some of the students as well in the jazz program. And so she's joining us briefly before she starts working with them. About five years before your next CD, which we'll sample in a little bit. What took you so long?
Oh, my. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly one who I take my time with writing and arranging, composing, whatever it may be at that moment. And I like to let these pieces kind of come on their own and to, you know, have time to develop. And sometimes those things come quickly and sometimes they don't. And but it's just really trying to let those pieces naturally unfold. And and of course at that time as well, I was still very actively involved with the classical competition circuit and doing a lot of work with that. So I was always composing and arranging and practicing my material and doing concerts. But as far as really having a project that I felt was complete in every way, it just took a little bit longer than maybe it does for other people. But it certainly felt like it was a natural progression.
Do you still ever find yourself in front of an orchestra doing a solo gig?
Not so much anymore, no. I think my last performance with an orchestra happened before I moved to New York. At least I should say actually it wasn't really with an orchestra. Well, I'm trying to remember this. This is going back quite a bit. I should say my last performance of all classical repertoire. Yeah, that's more of an accurate statement. I did quite a few recitals. That was more of where I really loved to perform the repertoire. So yeah, I did a few pieces here and there for recitals, but not a full length recital. The last time I did that was right before I moved to New York. So
you do a lot of collaborating with other people, including this current year with bassist and vocalist Esperanza Spalding, who's actually a name that was new to me until probably a few months ago. I started hearing her in one of our other on our community radio station here and thought she was fabulous. For her CD called Chamber Music Society. So I'll just suggest people go try to find some recordings of hers and check her out, because I think they'd really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. No, she's an amazing musician, amazing performer. And, I started touring with her in the fall of last year, so September of 2010. And we've had an incredible tour, an incredible year. Of course, during that time, she won the Grammy for Best New Artist. So there was so much attention that was given to her, rightfully so. I mean, she really is one of those incredible artists who is so humble in what she does. I mean, she honors the music in whatever way she can, and has such a unique voice and really wants to share that with people. And it was just an incredible year, and I think we in total visited 5 continents and did, I don't know, over 150 concerts. I don't have the exact tally, but when we did a number of TV shows like Jimmy Kimmel and David Letterman and Jay Leno, and for a jazz artist to be getting that kind of attention and it's just a really beautiful thing, and especially for her because she works hard. She really does. She's passionate about the music, and every waking moment she's doing something toward really refining that craft. So it was really a great tour to be part of.
Speaking of collaborations and Grammys, you just told me today that you're on the list of potential nominees. I didn't know that there was a list and then a list. And then
there actually, I think there are maybe 2 or 3 rounds of the voting that happen before you get down to the final 5 in each category, is at least from what I understand. And so I got word from friends that I was on, or that I am on the ballot for, I think this is the final vote before the final 5 or 6, however many they have in each category, are announced and are voted on for the final award. So yeah, one of the solos that I did on Rosanna Vitro's tribute to Randy Newman was selected and added to that list on the ballot. And her album, of course, is on on the list for Best Jazz Vocal Album as well. So we're all pretty excited. And to be to be nominated for those categories is great. I mean, I feel so honored and privileged to be on that list. And I'm so happy for Rosanna too, getting the recognition for the work that she did toward that album. So yeah, it's exciting. I mean, if I'm on the short list for the final round, that's great. But I'm just happy to be there. It's great.
Well, let's give a listen to the song. This is called In Germany Before the War, from Rosanna Vitro's disc called The Music of Randy Newman, and it's Sarah Caswell you will hear as the featured violinist on the tune, and you're listening to Live and Local. Germany Before the War is the name of the song by Randy Newman. Rosanna Vitro is the vocalist, and the violinist you heard is Sarah Caswell. She's going to be playing at the Tarbell Arts Center in Charleston tonight. And wanted to bring things back to another collaboration that I know you participate in with great regularity, and that is with your sister Rachel.
That's right.
I imagine in various contexts, including the Caswell Sisters Quintet.
That's correct.
What's the balance of your own work with your quartet, that quintet, and then other collaborations with Rachel?
Well, this year has been a little unusual just because so much of my time was spent traveling with Esperanza Spalding and Chamber Music Society. So things were a little off what they usually are. But as far as a regular year, if there is such a thing, I'd say maybe about half of the shows that I do are either my own or with my sister. Obviously, it makes it a little bit of a challenge since she doesn't live in New York. She lives in the Midwest in Indiana. So we try to get together whenever possible and do shows that are within both of our schedules and can work out in that way. And then when I can bring her to New York to do some performances as well, we do. And then I do quite a few shows with my own group. Most of those are focused out on the East Coast since the musicians who are in my both my trio and my quartet are all based out of New York. So it's easiest to kind of center our performances in that area. And then I'm sideman with several groups, mostly in New York, so that takes up the other half of my of my time. Those groups include the New York Pops, which we talked about a little earlier, and performing for Xana Vitro, and then a great trombonist and arranger named Alan Ferber, and then another tenor player named Michael Webster. He has a group called Leading Lines. So yeah, they're just various musicians who I consider part of my musical family, and I love working with them when those performance opportunities arise.
Well, I wish we had time to play lots more of your tunes here, and I particularly want to commend people to the title track from the newest CD, which is called But Beautiful. I mean, that really is a beautiful, beautiful song and performance.
Well, thank you.
But I thought we'd go out with a collaboration with your sister, where at times you are like one voice between your voice and her wordless, your violin voice and her wordless vocal. And this is called Receipt, Please. Any background here we should know to this song?
About the tune in particular, I should say this. I mean, a few things, actually. But Rachel has an amazing voice in that her background as an instrumentalist has, she played cello for years. And when we were growing up, we played piano trios with my mom. My mom played piano, and of course I was on violin and Rachel was on cello. So we've been making music together since we could walk, essentially. And so there's certainly a knowledge and a familiarity that we have in what we do in that way, how we communicate musically. But then as far as what she's able to do with her voice, her instrumental skills have just lent themselves so well to what she's able to do with her voice. I mean, she treats it much more like a horn than she does someone who maybe comes from more of an operatic background. So her ability to treat her instrument, her voice, as a horn, and to then blend with my violin, and then, of course, the history of our partnership in making music, there's just a really amazing chemistry that both feeds us both whenever we're having the chance to perform together. So when I was trying to decide what tune I would include her on that really demonstrated that love that we have of performing together, this was one of those tunes that just, it kept on coming back to me. Every time I was, brainstorming possibilities, that one just kept on rising to the top. So it's the reason for its inclusion.
It's called Receipt, Please, with the sisters, violinist Sarah Caswell and vocalist Rachel, last name Caswell, I assume?
Yes.
And also pianist Lynn Ariel. Which bassist have you got on this tune?
That one is Jeremy Allen.
we've covered them both then.
That's right.
Larry Kohut also on that CD, and drummer Steve Davis. Sarah will be at the Tarbell Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tonight at 7:30 with pianist Paul Johnston and some students there in the jazz program. And I appreciate very much your joining us on Live and Local.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's FM 90.9. Da 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 offering in-plant area rug cleaning using the master rug cleaning method. Sweeney Brothers at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. You just heard part of a rendition of the famous Queen tune, Bohemian Rhapsody, as performed by Jake Shimabukuro. He is a ukulele player from Hawaii, which is where we're actually talking to him at the moment as we're recording this. And he's going to be in our area twice, tonight in Springfield at Sangamon Auditorium at 7:30, and then tomorrow night at the Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington. Also a 7:30 production. Thanks, Jake, very much for joining us on the show.
Oh, no. Aloha, and thank you so much for having me.
So did I say it more or less correctly, ukulele? I assume that's how you say it?
Yeah, that's perfect.
As opposed to ukulele?
Yeah, I think, both ways are fine by me. But actually, ukulele comes from the native Hawaiian word, words, uku and lele. Uku meaning flea and lele meaning jumping. So the name of the instrument literally translates into the jumping flea.
And there's some explanation for that, I assume.
Yeah, well, what I heard was that when it got its name because, you know, the fingers on your left hand look like like little jumping fleas, you know, along the fretboard. So,
particularly if you go really fast, as you often do. Is this an instrument? I mean, I don't want to be overly stereotypical here, but is this an instrument that is played a lot in Hawaii or not necessarily?
Yeah, no. I mean, I started playing it when I was 4 years old. You know, like most kids, because. Everyone has an ukulele, you know, buried somewhere in their closet, you know, here on the islands. And my mom played, so she was my first teacher. And then, of course, in elementary school, in the fifth grade, everyone learns how to play the ukulele. You know, we have about 3 weeks of ukulele class. And everyone that goes through the public school system here in Hawaii has to learn at least three chords on the instrument. So it's very common, you know, it's very common. I mean, we see it, we hear it all the time, and so I guess sometimes we take it for granted, you know. But it's so nice to see it becoming so popular, you know, all over the world now, not just in Hawaii, but, you know, I get to travel to different parts of Asia and Europe, and, you know, and of course, you know, on the mainland in the States. And there's all these ukulele clubs popping out, and just people are just embracing the instrument. And, you know, you hear it more and more on national commercials. You got guys like Eddie Vedder making ukulele albums now. You know, you got bands like Train and just utilizing the ukulele in their music, and it's incredible. It's amazing.
And it's being treated as more seriously than, say, in the days of Tiny Tim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's the beauty of the instrument, is that it can be used as a very kind of almost silly, it can be used in a silly, comical way and be completely acceptable. But you can also, the range of music, like traditional Hawaiian music to pop tunes to now, like, you know, rock tunes or even classical pieces, jazz, blues. I mean, there's just so much that you can do with the instrument, and I'm glad to see more and more people realizing that now. And, you know, for me, I started out playing a lot of traditional Hawaiian music, but as I got older, you know, I gravitated toward different styles of music, and you know, and like the Queen, like the Queen's you know, Bohemian Rhapsody that you were playing earlier, you know, I mean, I guess it kind of, everything kind of led to doing things like that, you know. I mean, I always, you're dealing with four strings and basically two octaves, so, you know, for me it was always a challenge, like how do you capture more complexity, you know, with the instrument? How can you take a song like Bohemian Rhapsody and make it work as a solo ukulele piece? You know, that's always been a challenge, and that's what kind of keeps me going, you know.
At what point after those early school classes, you know, where you had to take the ukulele with everybody else, did somebody say, "You've got some serious talent," or did you just take it on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of, well, you know, because when I was growing up, there was really no such thing as a solo touring ukulele player, you know, so, I mean, for me, I was just, I just loved playing. It was my passion, but I never thought I'd be a professional musician or anything, you know. In fact, because most people that start off with the ukulele, you know, they play the ukulele, but then once they get to a certain level, then they move on to the guitar, you know, if they want to advance, you know, as a musician, or they want to, you know, as their ear gets a little bit more, gravitates toward more complex harmonies and things like that, then they want to move on to the, you know, to the guitar or the piano or some other instrument. But for me, I guess I never graduated from the ukulele, you know, because I always believed that, you know, there was so much more that you could do with the instrument, and it was the only instrument that I had, you know, in the house. So I didn't really have anything else, you know, that I could play. But to me, the ukulele was the perfect tool because it's so compact, it's so tiny. You can take it anywhere. I mean, it's so easy to you know, to travel with it. When I go on the airplane, I just either put it in the overhead compartment or put it in the seat in front of under the seat in front of me. you can take it to the beach, you know, you can, when you're sitting in the car, you know, if you're parked somewhere just waiting to pick someone up or something, you know, you can just take it out and start playing it. It's not too bulky, and so I think it's the perfect companion instrument. It's wonderful.
I'm looking at a couple of pictures of you on the websites for the places where you're playing, and I don't know how tall or not so tall a person you are, but the instrument you're holding anyway, it doesn't look quite so small. Do you have different sizes ones, or are you just a smaller guy?
It's funny, you know, because there are four sizes of ukuleles. There's the standard size, which is what most people are familiar with, right? And then you have one that's slightly larger, it's called the concert size, and another one that's slightly larger than the concert, which is called a tenor. And the tenor is what I play. But the standard concert and tenor are all tuned exactly the same. But then you have the largest of the four, which is called the baritone, and the baritone is actually tuned like the first four strings of a guitar. So tuning is very different. It has a much deeper sound. So it is slightly larger. The one that I play is slightly larger than the standard size that everyone's familiar with. But I think you get about three or four more frets, and the body is a little bigger, so you get a little bit more volume.
I noticed on your current CD, Peace, Love, Ukulele, I think it's called, for each of the song listings, it says Jake Shimabukuro, ukulele, and then either Buffy 2 or Buffy 3. Have you named your instruments? Is that what that refers to?
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to name my ukuleles, and I guess, I don't have a lot of ukuleles. I own five or six, but I just travel with one. But I have the ukulele that I play is made by a local family here in Hawaii called the Kamaka family. So they're called Kamaka ukuleles, and they were the first family started manufacturing ukuleles in the world, really. I mean, they learned because the ukulele originally came from Portugal, and when the Portuguese immigrants came to Hawaii to work, you know, they brought their instruments with them. It was called the braguinha, yeah, or the cavaquinho, and the Hawaiians, you know, saw these little instruments and thought they were like the coolest thing. So they wanted to learn how to make these things. So the Portuguese taught the Hawaiians how to make their instruments, and then the Hawaiians started to make, you know, to make their own. And the ukulele, the cavaquinho, they look a little similar, but their sound-wise and the way they're tuned and played are very different, because the cavaquinho is made out of steel strings, whereas the ukulele uses all gut strings, and the cavaquinho is traditionally played with a pick, whereas the ukulele is traditionally played with your fingers. So there is a slight difference, but, and that's why, even though the ukulele, kind of came from Portugal, I really believe that it's become its own instrument now, and very much Hawaiian.
So the Portuguese instrument was really its ancestor.
Yes.
And then fully developed. Mm-hmm. So it is. I'm still stuck on Buffy. Is she somebody you know? Somebody they named it, or this is it? The Vampire Slayer, or
yeah, it was from from the Vampire Slayer. That's the series, you know. I mean, there was a movie first, you know, when I was a kid. I remember they had Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, and then later on they came out with the you know, the series, right, the television series. And so that's kind of, you know, because I remember taking an ukulele class once. I mean, an ukulele making class once, and I tell you, it was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do. But when I was when you make the neck of the ukulele, you know, before you attach it to the body, there's a piece on the bottom that's kind of like a sharp. It's a sharp, you know, it looks like a sharp wooden stake, you know, before the neck's all sanded and nice, you know, the neck of the ukulele, it looks like just like a sharp wooden stake. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, this is what you would slay vampires with. so I always had this vision in my head, like, you know, oh, there should be this TV show where, you know, a kid walks around with an ukulele, and then when he's a vampire slayer, so then when he encounters some vampire, you know, he takes his ukulele out, and then he, you know, the neck just comes out of the body, you know, the neck of the ukulele comes out of the body, and he'll use that to, you know, stab the vampires or something. I had a pretty wild imagination when I was a kid, so that's why then I remember back then thinking like, oh yeah, I should call my ukulele Buffy, you know, because it's very silly. I mean, I don't refer to my instruments as Buffy anymore, but I mean, I don't call them that, but I guess when I need to reference, you know, what instrument I'm using for, you know, for a song or for a recording, then I still kind of I go by either Buffy 1, Buffy 2, or Buffy 3. So I know which one I'm using. Yeah.
You don't ever incorporate the stake routine into your show, though.
Yeah, no, I haven't had to yet. You know, I haven't been attacked by vampires yet. So.
Well, speaking of the show, just one quick question: Are you bringing your band to these shows in Springfield and Bloomington, or are you solo?
Actually, I'll be performing solo in both, Springfield and Bloomington.
People can hear the ukulele as you've never heard it before, played by Jake Shimabukuro, Tuesday night, tonight at 7:30 at the Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield, and then tomorrow night at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, obviously in Bloomington. That also is a 7:30 show. For more about Jake, go to, is it just jakeshimabukuro.com?
Yeah, you can check me out on my website, jakeshimabukuro.com, or I'm also on very active on Facebook and Twitter, so you can be my friend on Facebook or follow me on Twitter.
Thanks very much for joining us.
No, thank you.
Jake Shimabukuro from his live album, and that's his tune called Wes on Four, taking on the style of the great jazz man Wes Montgomery. And he'll be in Springfield tonight at 7:30, Bloomington tomorrow night at 7:30, and you heard him on live and local here on FM 90.9. We have support today from Kennedy's Restaurant next to the Stone Creek Golf Course in Urbana, presenting their third annual Oyster Festival, November 5th through the 10th, featuring fried oysters, oysters on the half shell, oyster stew, oysters Rockefeller, and more. Details and reservations can be made at 384-8111. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. Few other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area the next couple of days. Tonight at 7:30, the University of Iowa Percussion Ensemble is coming to the University of Illinois campus in Urbana at Smith Music Hall. That's at 7:30. Mannheim Steamroller will be at the Peoria Civic Center tonight at 8 o'clock. The Hot Iron String Band is having its weekly gig at the Clark Bar in Champaign at 6:30. This evening, the Drew Ninmer Jazz Quintet is at Indigo Gallery in downtown Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. The Illinois State University Faculty Brass Concert is at the Center for the Performing Arts on the ISU campus in Normal tonight at 8 o'clock. And it's the Yonder Mountain String Band playing bluegrass at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 8:30. And cellist Mike Block gives a recital at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock Central Time, your regularly scheduled programming on this and all other networks will be interrupted with a short nationwide test of the emergency alert system. As federal, state, and local governments prepare for and test their capabilities, this event serves as a reminder that everyone should establish an emergency preparedness kit and emergency plan for themselves, their families, communities, and businesses. Visit FEMA.gov for more information. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Showers are likely this afternoon, and there's a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Our high temperature will be about 68. We're currently at 66 at a minute past 1.